السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. المفتي عبد القادر صاحب دامت بركاته، أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to you once again. اكتساب question: when a marriage takes place between two people who already have children of their own, how soon can the husband hug his stepdaughter?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Habibuna Mustafa Rahmatul Lil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So for this, we need to go to chapter 4, Surah Nisa, the women, and verse number 23. If you don't understand chapter and verse, the last page of the fourth supara, the fourth juz, you will find the answer there, where Almighty Allah Jalla Wala states, وَرَبَائِبُكُمُ اللَّاتِي فِي حُجُورِكُم مِّن نِسَائِكُمُ اللَّاتِي دَخَلْتُم بِهِنْ. So example now, so I have my children and then I'm getting married to a lady who has her children and she has a daughter. So when can I make salam or hug that stepdaughter? So Rabiba in Quranic terminology. So I will become her mahram only after I have consummated the marriage with her mother, with my wife. So once I consummate the marriage with her, then I can shake hand with that stepdaughter, I'll become her mahram and so forth. So if I have not consummated the marriage with her, then remember she will remain ajnabiya and I will remain ajnabi, strangers to one another. Now regarding this, you the ummah, the esteemed listeners of Radio Al-Ansar International and Marqas Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, you need to be extremely circumspect and careful. You came with your children. I came with my children, Mera, Tera or Apna. Then we started our generation, other children, right? So now, once I consummated the marriage with you, the wife, so your daughter, daughters from your previous marriages, I become their mahram and so forth. So all that is fine. My sons and you, remember the wife, so they become your mahram and so forth. However, the set of children, so my children from my previous marriage and your children from your previous marriage, remember these children among themselves that there is parda and hijab and it's compulsory. So therefore, today you'll take life very easy and this you'll say is very difficult. So all that you should have sorted out before you get married and so forth. So they eat together, they play together, they sleep in the same room sometimes together. So all that is absolutely haram and we must be very, very careful in this regard.
Is marriage and nikah possible by proxy?
Remember that nikah can take place by a proxy. Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Medina Munawwara and Umme Habiba radiallahu anha was in Habasha, in Ethiopia, and he Najashi radiallahu anhu, for whom Almighty Allah revealed the verse, chapter 5, verse number 83, the beginning of the seventh juz, the seventh supara. So he acted as the wali and the wakil and so forth and so on for her. And thereafter, mashallah, the nikah took place and so much so he even paid the mahar to Umme Habiba radiallahu anha. So if all parties are happy about it and the lady is happy and her father, biological father who's Muslim, gives permission and so forth, so a proxy nikah can take place. But you must be very careful how you do it. Today, people just want to do it via video and Zoom and all that telephone that we say not right. You must appoint a wakil, appoint somebody in that country to be your representative. I'm getting married to a lady in London, Dubai, Hong Kong, wherever. So I appoint somebody there as my wakil, my representative. Or she appoints somebody here in South Africa, Johannesburg, Lanesia. And in that way, we take the matter forward and all parties are happy. And the lady and her father, who's a Muslim, has given consent. So then it is fine. And then you continue with that and the nikah will be valid.
Bishop, I wish to make the nikah of my daughter. I am not an adim. As a father, can I perform her nikah?
You as a Muslim, and you know the basic rules of how to perform a nikah, so there is no problem. You don't have to be a maulana or a sheikh or a qarisab or a muftisab or a hafizab. You are a good Muslim. You know the basic rules and so forth. So now I perform the nikah Sunday here in the Khanka after Zohar. So before starting, I just say, okay, this is the groom. So now Haji Abdul Hamid Ismail and the lady, you see, that she's not there, obviously. So her wakil is there. So it was a maulana, so and so. And then he was there. And thereafter, the two witnesses, then I asked them the mahar and so forth. So where's the mahar and so all that, that you now you clarify, everything is there. Thereafter, you read the khutbah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu till the end. You read the Quranic verses. Ya ayyuhan nasu taqoo rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida till the end. Obviously me and you can't read like Mawlana Salim Kareem. Mawlana Salim Kareem is a wonderful reciter of the noble Quran, but you can read the basics. And then you just use one, two ahadith. You say, قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ أَنِّكَاهُ مِنْ سُنَّتِي وَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةُ السَّلَامُ فِي رِوَايَةٍ أُخْرَى. In another hadith, the Master عليه السلام said, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةُ السَّلَامُ. So like that, then you address the wakil. You say that I am the wali, I am the guardian of this lady here. And now that I have given permission, so yeah, they won't be wakil because you yourself are the father, so you're the wali and the wakil. You are the guardian and the representative. So you say, I am happy to hand over my daughter to you in lieu of this amount of mahar in the presence of the brothers who are present here. And then you ask him, your son-in-law, do you accept my daughter in your nikah? And this is the mahar you will pay. And then he just repeats the words, nakahtuha wa qabiltuha. Then nikah is done. Then you make the dua, which is sunnah. Barakallahu lakuma wa barakallahu alaykuma wa jama'a baynakuma fi khair. Hadith in Abu Dawood. So remember, so the end of the story, not necessarily must be, you must remember, a maulana or a sheikh or what. Yeah, I don't know how many years ago, it was one of the big ijtimas, 30,000-35,000 people or more came, yeah, in lands, you know. So the elders came from Nizamuddin and here and there, maybe 8-10 years ago, I can't remember. So maybe more also. So one person came to me and he told me it was a Friday, the Jummah. He told me, perform my nikah now. I said, hey, brother, the year they have the Sunday nikah. I said, no, we have, can't wait now. We have to perform the nikah now. So I said, okay, wait. So I went to buy Ibrahim, our Musa, you see. So our brother Musa, yeah, you know, he's the Amir Sab of the lands at that time. He's very sick now, you must remember. So I told him, you understand, that this is his mota, he's saying, yeah, must I perform it or what you say, what's your mashura? So he said, yeah, you go ahead. So I said, very good, you're giving the go ahead. Then I saw Qari Hafiz Yusuf Nurbai. So I said, Qari Sahib, this person wants, I must perform the nikah to make nikah praunga, ab dua farmai. You see that? So you make the dua. Now you know Qari Sahib, how he read, subhanallah. So then he made a powerful dua there. By the time we finished, there were quite a number of people there. So if people tell you to perform nikah and all parties are happy, main thing you must know, the girl's father is happy and he's Muslim and he gave permission and you go ahead and it's fine. And one more thing you must remember when performing nikah, the words you use must be in the present tense or in the past tense, not in the future tense. Then the nikah is valid. There's no problem with that.
Mufti Sahib, on the same token, how do you perform the nikah if the bridegroom is deaf and dumb?
So mashallah, you write it out and you say that, you know, that now you write down you going to get married, you see, to this person here and there, and then this is the mahar, you show it to him, he writes there, I accept, and so forth and so on. So it's no problem, mashallah. So Islam got solution for all situation and circumstances. And in that way, wa ashhidu idha tabayatum and wala yudarra katibu wala shahid. So you just write it down, everything. So mashallah, all parties are happy, and he's happy, and he's maybe deaf, dumb, whatever. But you must remember that he can't speak, he can't hear, and so forth and so on. So in a case like that, just let you write it down, he writes it down, then it's fine, no problem, inshallah.
Islam, I want to make this Umrah on behalf of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, firstly, and then my parents, and then myself. Is this permissible to do niyyah for all?
100% permissible, you must remember that. Why make niyat for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only? Make intention for the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Ahlul Bayt, the honorable wives, the children, grandchildren, all of them. Make intention for your parents and the entire ummah of Habibuna Mustafa rahmatul lil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you want to make more, many a time with Allah's help, Allah's fazl, Allah's karam and benevolence. My wife and myself go for Hajj, Umrah, so she's asked me, what intention? I say, oh Poppy, make this intention. Ya Allah, from Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam's time, right till Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, everybody who passed away, male, female, adult children, but they were baligh and so forth, that now they passed away with Iman and Islam, we performing this Hajj for them, this Umrah for them. And then Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Ahlul Bayt, Sahaba, all of them, and the entire Ummah of Mustafa rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when I have to come back, I tell my nephew, nieces, I made Hajj for you, I made Umrah for you, I made this. So some nephews, nieces, they know I joke also a lot. So they tell me, you shooting us, man, how well can you perform for everybody so many Hajj and so many Umrah? I say, no, it's nafil Hajj, it's nafil Umrah, nafil voluntary. So in that you make multiple intention for million, billion, trillion, zillion people, all permissible. And Quran Kareem states, wa rahmati wasiat kulla shay. My mercy encompasses everything, is broader, wider, greater than everything and all things. So therefore we say, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Allah, include us in your mercy, and through your mercy accept these broken efforts, our tawaf, our umrah, our hajj, whatever you are doing. So make the great intention like that, all permissible, there's no problem with that.
Mufti Sahab, what happens if my parents pass away without an Islamic will?
Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla addresses this issue, and it's a very, very serious offense. People who sit on the fence are guilty of committing a major, major offense. Go and read, tonight is Tuesday, right? So last week, Tuesday night, I started the series there in the Jami Masjid. I said, you brothers, this is a topic that concerns all of us, male, female, adult and child, rich or poor. So that is the topic of inheritance. So then last week, Tuesday, I taught them the shares of the husband and wife. So tonight, inshallah, inshallah, Aziz, we'll teach them the shares of the children, the sons, the daughters, and so forth, inshallah, Aziz. So Almighty Allah mentions all this in chapter number 4 and verses 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. In chapter 4, Surah Nisa, the women, verses 13, 14, Allah mentions both scenarios. You do everything properly according to the Sharia and the commandments of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, the teaching, preaching of Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That is the supreme success, burial expenses, the debts of the deceased, business, corporate debts, the personal debts, all paid to the creditors immediately. And third one, the wasiya for non-heirs, a person, organization, that is implemented within the one-third of the net estate, and then the shares of the heirs, all done properly. Now Allah says, for people who die intestate, what you call it? Intestate. A person passed away, no will, no nothing. So then the law of the land will take over. So they will pass the law according to their constitution, the kuffar law and so forth. Quran Kareem states for me and you as Muslims, chapter 4, surah 4, the women, verse 14. Pay attention, very serious. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ. And whosoever disobeys Almighty Allah, disobeys Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, regarding this inheritance, regarding the Islamic law of succession, regarding the will and so forth. وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودًا. You went beyond the limits and boundaries and parameters. You increase somebody's share. You decrease somebody's share. You deprive somebody of their share. So the secular world, what they are going to do? They'll do all these upside down things. Then you, the testator, the person who passed away, يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا. Allah dispatches that person to Jahannam and the hellfire for a very, very, very long time and long period. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And for such a person will be a humiliating, disgraceful punishment. This word, عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, normally, if you look at Uslubul Quran, the methodology of Quran is used for kuffar and non-Muslims. But here Allah is using it for Muslims who made a world but un-Islamic, who didn't make a world at all, and they just carried on with life. Khana, peena, sona, pakhana, eat, drink, sleep, watch TV, and just visit the toilet and so forth. And man khapla, dala yubali, they're not concerned. Look at the consequences and ramifications. It's wajib and mandatory and compulsory upon every Muslim male, female, to have a world which is according to the Sharia and Islam. And remember, just to hope you're going to love it. What happened? We have to die sooner or later. Kullu nafsin zaikatul maut. Every living being shall taste death. Hadith Bukhari Sharif, Hadith Abu Dawood. Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Yabitu laylataini illa wa wasiyatuhu maktubatun indahu. O Ummah, you should not even allow two nights to pass, but your final will and last testament should be written already. Two nights, we allow 2 years, 20 years to pass, and still we're not ready. It's compulsory. Immediately, you have to draw up your will and make sure. Otherwise, the ramifications, consequences I mentioned to you. Surah chapter 4, Surah Nisa, and verse number 14. So we need to wake up from our slumber and our susti and laziness and so forth.
Mufti Sahib, will a son inherit from his father's estate if he murders his father?
Never ever will a murderer inherit if he murdered the person from whom he is supposed to inherit. Hadith in Tirmidhi, Hadith in Mishkat and Musnad Ahmad. Al-Qatilu la yarithu. When a person perpetrates and commits the crime of murder, so remember, so that is what we are calling premeditated murder. Intentionally, deliberately, you couldn't wait. So you just want to inherit. Yan mansa dwurt, ana mansa bruat. So will you inherit? No, you won't inherit. You must send you to jail for a long period and you sit quietly there. So remember, this is in that case. But let's say, this, I'm just giving you another example. So in a case like this, father and son went hunting, right? So now you went there to somebody's farm and what have you. So that mota was just a chance a little bit. So like me, now I don't know much about all this, but we take chances sometimes, you know. So, mashallah, but we hit the target also by fluke, you know, sometimes. So anyway, so this son shot, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. And then that bullet hit the father, passed away. So this is not Qatlul Amad, this is Qatlul Khata. So you must remember it happened by mistake and so forth and so on. So in that case there, the Hanafis and them say, inherit, you must remember that. But you must remember that Shafis and them say, even in that case, you will not inherit. Anyway, there's an academic discussion. So for you to understand that in a normal case where it's premeditated murder, then all the fuqaha, scholars, jurors agree that you will not inherit.
Of kisab I'm dealing in tobacco and cigarettes. Is my earnings from this item halal?
Totally haram, polluted, tainted. Where's the dalil and evidence for that? Quran Kareem states, chapter 17, verse 27, Innal mubazzirina kanu ikhwan ash-shayatin, people who squandered their wealth. I'm asking you one question. Does tobacco and does cigarettes and this whole industry, is it something that you are doing good for the society, community? Is it enhancing their iman, or is it polluting them? It's damaging them, you know, and harmful. So the Quran says, in case like that, you become the brothers, sisters of shaitan. You see that, chapter 17, verse 27. And the hadith is mentioned, authentic hadith by Imam Malik, rahimahullah, Imam Imam Malik. And what is that? La dharara wa la dirar. Don't cause harm to yourself. Don't cause harm to the people and creation. Don't cause harm to the environment. So all this is applicable here. And today they want to tell you about the environment and that Islam spoke of this 1400 years ago and more. Next one, kulu washrabu wala tusrifu. Eat and drink, but don't waste. And so this is 100% wastage. If you count how much you have sold, cigarettes, legal, illegal, and they say in South Africa, all are illegal Islamically. So remember that you will see it goes into millions and billions. So it's not permissible. Definitely that income is tainted and polluted. No Maulvi, no Sheikh, no Mufti can tell you that people who are buying, selling in the cigarettes, they are involved in halal and tayyiba, in such an industry that is lawful and pure and wholesome. Nobody will tell you that. You must remember this. So this shows that it is a tainted and polluted income and not permissible.
Mufti Saab, my husband is a chain smoker. The smell of cigarettes irritates me. Can I sleep in a separate room from my husband?
So 100% you must tell your husband, Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when people came in the masjid and they had a terrible odor and smell, they ate the onions and so forth and so on, then Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam would reprimand them, go make your miswak properly, go clean your mouth and everything. You are causing harm to the muswallis, to the people next to you. You're causing harm to the malaika and angels. You are causing harm to the masjid. You're desecrating the sanctity, purity of the masjid. See the multiple crimes. So now your hubby comes there, and now he's got all that smoking business, you see that. He wants to kiss you, but you're already put off by him. So you must be an intelligent lady, my sister. So go now and write down this note I'm giving you. Chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, right? And verse 228. Chapter 2, verse 228. And what will you find there? So you will find, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. The amount of rights the husband has over his wife, the wife also has similar rights like that over the husband. And then Almighty Allah says, وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. And for the men, there is one degree above that. So what is that? Darajatul Imara. He will be the Amir and the captain of the family and the head of the family, the captain of the ship. And that Darajatul Infaq. He, the husband, has to spend on the wife, not vice versa. And he has to spend on the children and not you, the mother. If you are spending on your husband or children, it is mimbabit tabarru wal ihsan. You're just doing a favor. It's not something compulsory upon you and so forth. Go and read Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 228. Ra'isul Mufassirin, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, commenting on this verse, used to say, Uhibbu an atazayyana laha. Kama uhibbu an tatazayyana li. I love to wear smart clothes, and I come to my wife, and I love my wife must also dress to impress me, not to impress the world and all and sundry. So you must teach your husband all these things, and tell him this smoking is very bad, it's not permissible, it's haram, or makruh tahrimi, so not permissible. And now you come, you want to kiss me with this terrible odor. Go brush your teeth, go use miswak and all these kind of things there. Then you can do. But if you don't want to listen, then you can go sleep in different room. You must remember, if he's a stubborn and obstinate guy. Story time, oh, Salim Kareem, this will resonate with you. You spent many years there. Karachi, I think 10 years or 9 years, whatever the case might be. I spent 7 years, just, you know, less than that little bit. So anyway, so I always used to wonder, these ustads and others, they eat so much pan, that betel leaf, you know. And I just disliked it, you know. And then all their lips and lucky lips get red and red. And then the women in Pakistan and other places, they love lipstick and dipstick business, you see that. So both sides, lal, lal business. The side is the pan that's lal, red, red. And the wife also is red, red lipsticks. Now they want to kiss one another. I always used to wonder, how are they going to kiss, you understood? So you better go ask one Maulana in Karachi, Pakistan or somewhere, you see that. So these kind of things you must stay away. When you go to your wife, you must be in immaculate condition. Wife, you know hubby is coming. You must be ready. Hadith in Sunan Sa'id bin Mansur. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, before husband-wife relationship, send a Rasul. So Sahaba asked, Mar Rasulu ya Rasulallah? Mar Rasulu ya Rasulallah? What do you mean we must send a message or messenger of Allah? Hadith in Sunan Sa'id bin Mansur. He, rahmatul lil alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al qublatu wal kalam. First you will kiss, then you will talk, and then like that. What the world calls today, foreplay. You see that? And then you fulfill the last course, intercourse, and so forth and so on. You don't just get on like an animal and just come and jump on and finish and ta, bang, wham, thank you, ma'am, business. Islam don't say that. Islam says you fulfill your duty with beauty. That is Islam. That Allah give us tawfiq. And you men that use miswak, you toothpaste, all that. And inshallah, when you go to your wife, then you must be shining, glittering, inshallah. MashaAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.